Holiday shopping can be more stressful than pulling rocks at Tribal Council, but it doesn't have to be when you shop at Amazon.com. Get all the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Plus, get the limited time Cyber Monday deals all week long when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who was once forced to draw rocks in art class, Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cisternino, and we have got a fantastic podcast for you guys here today on the RHAP. How would you like to hear? Could I interest you today in a podcast with the one and only four-time Survivor player and winner of Survivor Redemption Island and the author of the hit book, the Boston Rob Rulebook, Strategies for Life, Boston Rob Mariano? How do you like that? How do you like them apples? There's a Boston reference. Okay, so then we're going to also check in, speaking of returns to the podcast, Nicole Cesternino will be joining us to talk some Survivor, take your voicemails, and hear about everything going on in the Survivor social media. So really a jam-packed show here on a Survivor Thursday in a great Survivor week. I mean, the numbers were up on Survivor. We got a ton of traffic on Rob Has a Website, so everybody is loving this season. Everybody is loving Survivor right now. So this past Wednesday night, Stephen Fishback couldn't be with us. So we had a fill-in host with us. And who was it? Oh, only the winner of Survivor One World, Kim Spradlin, who joined me and filled in for Stephen. She did a fantastic job. Very, very fun conversation with Kim. Of course, you could see that on robhasawebsite.com. And then this morning, I spoke with the most recently eliminated player from Survivor, and that would be Caleb Bankston, and had a nice chat with Caleb about what he was thinking about all the things that he was involved in with the game. Of course, the big Tribal Council last week. We talked a little bit about Brad Culpepper and everything that happened there and what Caleb was thinking all along the game about how he thinks that they waited too long to try to make a move on Tyson against his better judgment. So you could check out my interview with Caleb on robhasawebsite.com as well. And of course, the big podcast today with Boston Rob. Make sure you don't miss any of these podcasts, please. They're too good for you to be risking that you miss any of them if you don't go to robhasawebsite.com. So go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes if you use iTunes as your podcatcher. Or if you listen on SoundCloud, go to robhasawebsite.com/SoundCloud. Or I actually listen to Downcast to download podcasts myself. And on Downcast, I don't have a cool link I can give you. You just have to search for the podcast. So however you are listening, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of the action. And we always appreciate it when you give us a 5-star rating if you think we deserve it on the iTunes. And of course, this podcast today is sponsored by our friends at Hover.com, but I'll tell you more about that later on the show. Of course, they make domain registration simple for everybody. And so let's get down to it. I'm sure that let's talk to the man that you've all been waiting to hear from.
All right, everybody. We have on the line today a very special treat, a man who needs no introduction. And he'd probably get annoyed with me if I gave him one. So here he is. It's Boston Rob.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm in Vegas. I came here for a couple days, play poker, hang out with some friends. And I'm actually coming to your neck of the woods this afternoon. But things are good. Family's good.
Yeah.
And excited to be watching this season of Survivor. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
How is the poker going?
Poker is going great. You know, I still play competitively pretty often. You know, luckily we have poker in Florida now, so it makes it easy for me to find a game. And I travel a little bit to the Gulf Coast, Biloxi, Mississippi, in New Orleans when the tournament comes to town, obviously up at Foxwoods in Connecticut when I'm in Boston, and come out to Vegas a few times a year too.
All right, well, not bad. All right, so let's get into this Survivor Blood versus Water, and let's jump right in. Now, first off, when they first announced that they were going to do a Survivor Blood versus Water, I think a lot of people had to have thought that you'd be on the short list of people that they were going to call. Any temptation for you and Amber to participate in a Survivor Blood versus Water season?
You know, they did. They called us, and as flattering as that is, I think I said this before, but my time on Survivor, I feel like, is complete. But having said that, I'm thoroughly enjoying watching this show. Having pairs of couple with this pre-existing relationship definitely adds another layer of strategy to the game. And for someone like me, it really makes it interesting, and I can appreciate, you know, that twist. They try different things with Survivor all the time, you know. And they never know what's going to work and what isn't going to work. But I think they hit the nail on the head this time, and they get something that, you know, who knows, they may use again. Because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and there's been so much drama that has come out of people having a relationship and trying to split them up. And I even think of, you know, back on the Survivor All-Stars, that whole thing with Lex that happened where you're saying, hey, can you save Amber? I mean, that's almost like a Survivor Blood versus Water type thing of, hey, I have this relationship, can you save somebody? And it's the kind of thing that we've seen a few times this season.
Yeah, it's even deeper than that, I think, because, you know, it adds a strategic element that it can work for you or it can work against you, depending on if your loved one is in the game, on Redemption Island, on the jury. It affects all three stages of the game. I like to think of Survivor as like a three-stage game. You know, you have your before the jury votes, you have your jury votes, and then you have your finalists, the people that are left in it. And whether your loved one is still in or out on the other side, whether they're on your team or on the opposite team, it's kind of hard to like sum up into words, Rob. But I know, you know, like you analyze and watch every bit of it as I do, and you can see how, you know, whether that loved one is in a certain situation, how it affects other people's perception, which ultimately affects their judgment, you know, because the perception is everything. So it's almost like it's an unbreakable bond. The only one that's really flipped the script on that this season is Sierra voting her own mom off, you know. From a strategy standpoint, I thought that was freaking awesome. I mean,
yeah, Rob,
who would have ever imagined? You know what I mean? She's
right.
Go ahead.
Right. I was gonna say that. Would you ever vote your mom off Survivor?
I couldn't. I don't know. I'd like to think I could. I don't know if I could. You know. But hey,
yeah.
That's God. It's just so hardcore. You know,
yeah.
She's in this thing to win it. I give her a lot of credit. She's, to me, she's already established herself as one of the most dangerous contestants this season. She's a thinker. And a few episodes back, something happened, and I can't exactly remember the scenario.
Okay, well, I think I know what you're talking about, because you tweeted about it, where she had gone to Katie, and tell me if this is what you're thinking of,
yes.
That she had gone to Katie and she had said to Katie, Katie was saying, hey, I have the idol. And she's like, no, you don't have it because I have it.
Right.
And Katie's like, what?
Right.
Talk that, like, through.
That shows like such forethought in like a whole other level of thinking. It's basically what would be the equivalent of a semi-bluff in poker. You know, you're basically bluffing, but you're bluffing to gain information, and you're not bluffing to the point where, you know, if she's like, no, you don't, I really have it, then you can laugh it off and say, oh, well, I tried, you know? But that, to me, shows a level of thinking that's beyond, you know, the surface, that goes deeper. And when she came back to tell Tyson that, if it were me, I would have laughed along with him just like he did, but I would have voted her ass off right away.
Right.
To me, God, that's dangerous. And she's continued to show that she's, you know, a thinking strategic player and very, very dangerous. I think a lot of people know I'm kind of biased to Tyson. He and I, after the whole Redemption Island fiasco where he ended up essentially voting himself off, and then as a result I got voted off, we spent about 3 weeks together down in Australia and became really good friends and still keep in touch to this day. Spent in my home a few times, knows my wife and kids, and so I'm rooting for him this season. But I don't know, see, this girl's a player, and last night's episode was pretty awesome, I thought.
You know, thinking back to that whole thing with Tyson, I know you guys are good friends. I was thinking about this before. Like, right now, it looks like Tyson is in the best position to win the game. Right now, he has the look of somebody like you had on Redemption Island, like Kim Spradlin had on Survivor One World. Like, he's in the driver's seat right now. And I was just thinking about this. If he can pull this off, you know, you guys are sitting there at that bar, at that beach or whatever in Australia. And if one of you guys had said to the other, hey, don't worry about all this, 5 years from now, we're both going to be winners of this game. What would you have said?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. He is in the driver's seat. And I think if he's in, like last night, what a gamble with The Rock. I mean, you could tell how frustrated he was. But at some point, you know, where they're not budging, there's nothing you can do. And, you know, at that point, he just got lucky. He got real lucky to have Katie chose the Rock that she chose. But I mean, you know, anything can happen down the stretch, but it does. It looks like he's got it wrapped up as long as, you know, he can keep his ducks in the row and get to the end with the people that he needs to get to the end with. I think he's got it in the bag, but you know, look at the Survivor, anything can happen any week. Yeah. It can happen. And that's the thing about the game that's like what I love about it so much, is that it's so hard. You can do everything right all the way up to the end and still, you know, one little thing changes it and you don't win.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's like, Rob.
So maybe you get back there too, bud. I think you know, with so much time in between the last time you played and now, is such a, you know, and going through all of what you've been doing with these interviews and everything, I think you go into the whole thing with a completely different perspective, because clearly the game is not, I mean, it's a shadow of what it was back in the day when we played, you know. There's so many more layers, and everybody is a thinking player now, and everybody is smart. Not everybody, but most of them, you know, there's another level that, you know, didn't exist back then. So
yeah. Well, let's talk about the whole thing with The Rocks last night, because it worked out perfect that we had you here for this week. And of course, we have The Rocks come up for the first time since your original season in Survivor Marquesas, and we hadn't had one time since then that we went to The Rocks. So I also think it's very interesting, the decision for those three people to go to Rocks, because I think it ties into a lot of things like odds and stuff that you're very familiar with playing the poker. So Sierra, her decision to say, hey, I'm going to force a 3-3 tie. I realize I'm not in the top three. I'm number four. I want to go to The Rocks. Did you like that decision?
Well, first of all, I don't even know if I give all the credit to Sierra. I got to say that I thought Hayden fought for his life. And
yeah.
I don't know how much actually happened, because, you know, we only see a fraction of it on TV. But it appeared as if he influenced that decision greatly. So, I mean, kudos to him for fighting. He knew that if he were able to get them to tie, that he becomes immune. You know what I mean? So he's basically on a free roll there. And if anybody goes, he's got at least one more shot to win immunity. From Sierra's point, what's that?
I was going to ask you, did you know how that tiebreak rule works? Because I felt like
it's different every season.
Yeah.
Season, it's a little bit different. But before the season starts, they give you the rules. And, yeah, it's always been that if there's a tie, there's a revote. And everybody knows that if the revote happens and it's a stalemate, then those two people become immune and you have to vote. There's a rocks. Everybody chooses a rocks unless you have immunity. So basically Tyson, Katie, and Sierra, Tyson's got a 33% chance. It's a 1 in 3 shot.
Yeah.
Basically, it's mutually exclusive. So it's independent. He has exactly a 33% chance, but that's per rock. But there's two of those rocks. So there's a 33% chance that he chooses the wrong rock, but a 66% chance that he'll be all right. So he's basically a 2-3 favorite to not go home. So he's still a favorite to not go home, even though, it's basically Katie versus Sierra. They're each independent. There's two black rocks and one white. I think it was black and white, right?
Yeah, yeah, you have it right.
Kid,
yeah,
not... right? The white rock makes you go home. Shouldn't it be the black rock makes you go home?
Hey, Rob, that I think it should have been a purple rock. I think Pascal is saying WTF.
No, that because it's associated black with evil. I know, it's kind of crazy, but... Okay.
Yeah. let's not go into that. Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
So now if you were in Tyson's position, would you have gone to the rocks or would you have changed your vote and voted out Monica?
You got to kind of roll the dice there and gamble. It's not like his hand was forced. So, okay. Let me equate it to poker. So he could, there's two ways to think about this, Rob. He could essentially have switched the vote, voted for Monica, and been safe one more week. And he has a hidden immunity idol, so he could technically be safe for two more weeks, right? And he could possibly win another immunity and still be safe. And then he could make the argument at the end that he did what he had to do for self-preservation. But in doing so, he's going to end up screwing his entire alliance, and they're going to know. And now he's going to be on his own. So basically, he's put himself in a position where he has to win out to be able to have a shot. And then even still, when he has to make his case at the end to the jury, he's still a sellout. Where if he gambles now and comes out all right, he uses that to his advantage in the end. So, like, in a poker tournament, 95% of the money is at the top in the first place. Same with Survivor. You don't really play for second or third or just to get in the money. What they say. So like in a regular poker tournament, they maybe pay 10% of the field. So the first place, you probably double your entry fee. So some people think, oh, well, that's better than nothing. Let me just try to squeak in. But that's not the objective of the tournament. That's not the objective of the game. The objective is to win. So if you have to make a move that it's kind of like an all-in and all-or-nothing type scenario, where you have to take a stand to give yourself a shot to win in the end, that's more important than moving up another rung on the ladder. In my opinion, that's always been the way that I've played. You know, I kind of feel like you're always playing to win. The flip side of that argument, and there's no right or wrong answer, but I'm just kind of going over all the scenarios with you. The flip side is that, like, if you're out, then you have no chance to win. But effectively, if you have no chips at the end, then you have no chance to win anyway. You know, the odds are highly stacked against you. So would I have drawn the rock or not? I think at that point his hands were forced. He had to draw the rocks. He didn't have a choice, from my opinion, from my point of view.
And also, Redemption Island is still there. So maybe he also feels like, look, maybe I have a 1 in 3 chance to get the rock and maybe I go out, but maybe I can go back to Redemption Island and come back into the game in 5 days or whenever some of the person is coming back from redemption.
So not only does he have a 2 in 3 chance of staying, but he also has a safety net. It's a no-brainer. He has to do it because he doesn't alienate anybody. And if he does it and he comes out all right, and he can use that to advantage his advantage in the end to make a solid argument.
So just like my old football coach Herm Edwards used to say, you play to win the game, right? So Sierra also, you feel like made the right move because 4 is the same as being 6th.
Yes. I do believe she made the right move. And I think Hayden, like it's, I think everybody, I mean, it was played perfectly. It's
everybody
funny.
Made
I was
the right move.
Sitting there, I was at a friend's house and I was watching, we taped the show and we watched it. And I was just like almost disgusted before the vote because I was like, I know what's going to happen here, you know, and it's rare that I'm actually surprised watching the show, and I was surprised last night, happily surprised, that she didn't go along with it. Because, you know, it puts a big target on her now. In a couple of ways, I was happy. I was happy because she was able to recognize it, whether through Hayden or on her own. She was able to recognize, you know, that this was something that she had to do, or she was going to be, you know, a sitting duck there. But it also brought to Tyson's attention, if it wasn't already on his radar, that this is a dangerous player and she needs to go. So for selfish reasons, for my buddy, I'm glad she did it because now she's got a big-ass target on her.
A couple other things about Sierra here. Let's go back to the episode last week, okay? So Hayden and Caleb come up with this idea, hey, there's 4 of us. Now we're going to vote. We're going to blindside
Tyson. Hold on.
I
want to say something else. Jarvis, okay. Even though he's been doing a lot of bonehead stuff, he did do something that I thought was awesome at Redemption Island when Caleb called him out and he flipped the script on him. Remember when he turned it around and he was like, look, we were just trying to get you before you got us. And that's important. I mean, he's alienated all his jury votes. He got no chance. You know what I mean? He shouldn't run his mouth the way he does. Like, Survivor 101, you don't go off at tribal council against a jury. A couple things happened last night. The other thing was at one point where Hayden's really like trying to make his point. Like, you can't converse with the jury and they can't, you know, they can't talk back to you. But when he's really trying to I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. Yeah. But when he's trying to make his point to Sierra about her being 4th and about, you know, you need to make a big move and stuff. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody do this, but it occurred to me right then and there. It's like, why not turn to the jury and ask them like a rhetorical question? They can't answer, but you're going to see the reaction on their face. You're going to see them nod their heads. You're going to see it. You know what I mean? And it's funny, in all the seasons of Survivor, when the jury's sitting there, nobody really uses them to their advantage. And it just kind of, I thought about it last night. I was like, man, there's another level to the game there that you could probably exploit if you knew how to.
Yeah, especially with all the lawyers that have been on the show that nobody has ever like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, like, I present to you this case. Like,
yeah, but not even that, but like being like, look at Sierra, if you want to make a big move, the jury, if they're going to vote for you, they're going to want to see a big move. Isn't that right, guys? And they can't say anything, but they're going to look at him and they're going to, you know, and it helps him to make his case.
Interesting.
Anyway, I thought that was a good move by Jarvis, though, to throw it back on him. But he's killing himself. He's burying himself a little bit at tribal council.
Now, did you know Jarvis at all from back in the day?
I met him, yeah. I mean, I don't know him well. but
we, not particularly
well. Hang out well often, but I have met him.
So let's go back to Sierra. So the whole thing that happened last week. So basically, there's like this coup that that they're trying to pull, where there's the four new players. And they say, "Hey, we're gonna blindside Tyson. Okay, so it's the four of us. We're gonna take out Tyson, Jervis, and Monica." And they tell Sierra the plan. And I had to think of you last week because it seemed like, I don't know whether you want to call it the buddy system or what, but so then Sierra comes back and tells Tyson the plan. I couldn't believe this.
It's funny, man. We did discuss on this at dinner last night. My buddy is a big, fan of the game. We were talking about this exact scenario where, you know, we'd make everybody, I would make people accountable to each other to make sure there were no lies going on. And they'd all come back to report, and I'd have them report to me and rat on each other, but they'd never rat on themselves. Do you know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't, they wouldn't go and tell anyone else. And I think it's just because I established it. And I don't know if Tyson established that the way I did. He must have set it up that way where, kind of funny when somebody suggests a plan and that plan doesn't work out, then the person that suggests it gets the blame. And it's almost like when somebody suggests something to do and it's going well or going not well, whoever kind of suggested it, they report to that person. It's, I don't know if it's a psychological thing, it just happens. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that he's probably doing, keeping them in check, you know, checking up with everybody. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's probably a testament to the system that he put in place, I think. I mean, I know on Redemption Island, because I was the one that kind of came up with it, they would report, I guess, to me, and no, man, I can't give you all the secrets, Rob.
That's fine. You know that whatever you can share, that's good. So Sierra ends up going off with Tyson Jervis, and then she then becomes in her mind the three, but she's really the four. Then at that point in time, did you like the decision then? For Tyson to stick with the plan to vote out Caleb rather than vote out Sierra, considering the fact you said that she...
No, I didn't. And I called him and I told him. I thought he should have voted out Sierra. Right after that thing happened where she, like, went with Katie and that whole scenario that we talked about, I thought she should have voted off... I thought he should have voted off Sierra. But here's the other thing, and, like, we were talking about this last night. We were watching the show, too. Before Sierra changed their vote and decided to force the tie, right, when I thought what was going to happen was going to happen, like, I thought it was going to be predictable, and she was going to be fourth on the bottom, and that's the way we see it on TV and everything. And I told my buddy, I was like, Paul, I go, the reason why she's not switching, or she isn't going to switch, this is before she actually switched and I look silly, but in my mind I'm thinking she's not going to switch, and I go, the reason why she's not switching is because she really truly in her heart doesn't believe that she's fourth. She believes she's third or second. She believes she's in the core alliance, and that's a testament to Tyson playing well. You know, like with me, everybody thought they were going to the end with me because that's what I made them believe. You know, and I really did, like, they did believe that. That's why they never, like, came up against me and fought in any other way, because they all thought they were going to the end and that they could beat me. It wasn't until they were voted off that they realized that they weren't in the final three. But I had them all thinking that. And then, obviously, Sierra changed her vote, and I look silly saying this whole thing to them. But, like, it's true. Like, a lot of times, when people appear to be on the bottom, you know, fourth in the alliance, they don't actually believe that in their heads. And that's because the person that is running the show make them believe that they're not.
Yeah. And I don't think you sound silly at all, because I think you're exactly right that Sierra believed that she was in the three until, I think it was more Jervis than any Jervis and Monica, the two of them.
Three, four.
Yeah, they said Monica's like, well, fourth is better than sixth. And Jeff was even like, but she's telling you you're fourth. And then Jervis said, and Jervis, very, very bad job by Jervis, counted out the people. And she happened to be the fourth chair in a row. And he's like, hey, you could go with them or you can go with us. And we're one, two, three, four. And in his counting, she happened to be four again. And she was like, I'm four. I'm the fourth. So now I have to switch my vote.
Yeah. I mean, look, many a time a plan has been set and then tribal council happens, and as it unfolds, things happen differently. What else happened this season? Man, Caleb was really good in that one tribal council when he was when he was fighting for his life, and something happened, and I can remember him like calling people out.
Yeah, Brad Culpepper. It was the same scenario where six people are left in the game and in the first part of the game, and the six loved ones.
You got a mind for this stuff, man.
Well, I talk about it every week. If I wasn't talking about it every week, I would forget it. Don't ask me anything about last season. I already forgot that. But so we had the three. It was three and three, and so. It was going to be 4-2. Brad Culpepper and the guys were going to vote against the girls, but Caleb was like, I've had enough of this. And then he switched his vote to Brad Culpepper and forced the 3-3 tie in that scenario.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And then Vetus changed
that was
his
really
vote.
Really good of him thinking on his feet, talking out loud. I always said, like, you know, if my back was ever against the wall, I'd do it. I'd flip the script on him right there. I'd call him out live and, like, say it. Like, look, I'm changing my vote. This is who I'm voting for. If you want to get on board, we can do it. We can start anew right there. And I don't think that had been done before that. But a lot of cool things happened this season. I thought that was a good head-up play.
Rob, it seems like that never used to happen. It feels like back in the early days of Survivor, it was like that was the everybody had their plan. It was the vote. And rarely, if ever, people ever change what they were doing at Tribal Council. And now I feel like more and more it happens where
The players are getting smarter. I do. I think they're realizing that, you know what, this is an opportunity and this is their chance, and they better make the most of it. And, you know, they've seen people go by the wayside, and the players now, they don't want to go home with regrets of not trying, and they're really fighting. They're not willing to accept their fate. And I think overall it makes for better players, and it makes for a better show. So it makes it harder to win, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And you wonder at the end of it all if, you know, the people that are actually going to end up winning are going to win by circumstance, you know, because you had a bit of that too, like early on where, you know, the quote unquote under the radar player would scoot by and they'd be the lesser of the evils than the players, you know, playing. But I think there was more of a case of bitter juries then. And now I think the juries, I think they respect the good gameplay more in general, you know. I think I've always been a proponent of, like, the person that wins is the person that is supposed to win. You know, if the other person didn't manage the jury properly, if they didn't do what they were supposed to do, then they don't deserve to ultimately win, you know, and that's all part of it. But I think now the juries are looking at the game as a whole more, and the players as a whole, and for the most part, I think they're able to put some personal stuff aside, even though that personal stuff is part of the game. So,
all right, let me talk about something else with Sierra. It seems like all roads lead through Sierra so far this season. So last night, something interesting else happened. So they have this whole thing with the person that wins the challenge gets to give the clue away to the hidden immunity idol. And Laura Moret keeps winning the challenge. She gives the clue to Sierra, and Sierra finally says, hey, I'm going to take the clue. And so she takes it back with the group and she says, I'm going to share it with my alliance of Tyson, Jervis, and Monica. And then ultimately, Tyson ends up finding the idol and keeps it for himself. What were you thinking as you watched that play out?
That was pretty stupid. It was a stupid move. She's a smart player. But I mean, look, here's the deal with the hidden immunity idol, okay? I'll break it down for you real quick and real simply. The only advantage to the hidden immunity idol is you want to have it and not let anybody else know you have it so that you can neutralize it. That's the only thing you really need it for. You want to have it so you know that nobody else has it. And then you can play the game. I'd prefer to play it without it. But then you can play the game and know that it's not going to be a monkey wrench in your plan. It throws a wrench in your plan if you don't have it. You know, but this stuff about, you know, using it to save you, and Tyson used it last week or the week before. And I thought he should use it if I ever felt like I needed to use it, I would have. But more than anything else, the only reason you need it is to make sure nobody else has it. Having said that, I would never tell anybody, you know, like she took it. And once she took it, the target was on her and she kind of had to share it. She would have been better, and I wish somebody did this season. The play would have been this. Okay, every week they're throwing it in the fire. If somebody gave it to me, I'd have stood up and read it out loud. Only I wouldn't have read what was actually on the paper. I would have had some idea in my head of something, like down by the river, under the rock, around the swirly tree is where you'll see. Something, make something up that I have rehearsed. But then I would actually read what it actually said and had it in my mind and then go throw it in the fire. So now I know the clue and nobody else does.
Now, do you know if they give you a clue after it, do they have the previous clues on there?
Usually.
So now if then it came out that your thing was bogus, at that point, do you not care because you already have the idol?
You better have it by that point. But who else is going to take it? You know what I mean?
Right. Everybody else is throwing it in the fire.
Right.
It's been very interesting. Lots of intrigue with that whole thing.
I think it backfired on them with the throwing it in the fire thing. I mean, it was smart. I actually said it. I actually was I was actually stood up. I told Amber, I was like, man, that Culpepper, he knows what he's doing. Because that was my initial reaction, was like, throw that shit in the fire.
Yeah,
but then he proved to not really know what he's doing, huh?
Yeah,
he was a good football quarterback. I give him that.
Yeah.
His wife is a beast in the challenges. Oh my God, Monica, she's killing the challenges.
Now, can Monica win the game?
It's unlikely.
Yeah. You know. It reminded me a little bit of of Philip on your season earlier in the season, where everybody was trying to tell Monica earlier in the season, Monica is at the bottom, we should vote her out. And just like that, there was that one tribal council on your season where I forget who was there, whether it was Steve or anybody else was there, and they were trying to tell Philip, hey, you're at the bottom, why don't you switch? You could vote with us. And he's like, I don't feel like I'm at the bottom. And, you know, it was that same sort of thing where Tyson has done a really good job of making Monica feel like she's number three, and she's never swayed at all. We barely even see her anymore on the show, other than the challenge.
What her argument could be to win? What's her argument to give her the money? Why does she deserve it? I mean, she's great in the challenges, but we all know now that that's only one aspect of the game. There's the strategic aspect and the social aspect. And the most important aspect of those three is the social aspect, and she's dogging it in the social aspect. From what we see on TV, you know, a lot of people seem to be annoyed. So I think, you know, I mean, I'm a fan. I think she's killing the challenges. I don't know that she's liked enough to get the votes in the end. I don't. I think a lot of people see Jervis as second fiddle to Tyson. Tyson's been has had it all, everything thrown at him, And I think he's handled it pretty good, you know, especially with Hayden's outburst last week. After, it's tough to handle that, you know, when people say, look at everybody else playing for second. He's going to win if he goes to the end. I mean, you got to laugh that off, but at the same time, know that people are now listening. If they weren't paying attention, they're paying attention now. And I think he's handled it all pretty gracefully, you know. It's tough to deal with that.
So if you're Tyson
now, Sierra could win if she makes it to the end. I do. I think she could win. She's playing to win. She has her mom on the jury. She has Tina and Katie. I think that's three votes, you know, mm-hmm. and I think she only needs to get two more and she can make a pretty good argument. She's definitely made the moves to be able, you know, to make a good argument.
Now, if you're Tyson, you're at the final five, okay?
Yep.
So you have so it's you and Jervis and Monica, and you have Hayden and Sierra still in the game, plus somebody's coming back from Redemption Island. Who is the next person you vote off? Is it Sierra or is it Hayden?
Depends who comes back from Redemption Island.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to know until after this vote. I think they come back, so they vote somebody off here, and then I think somebody comes up. Yeah.
You have to vote Sierra off. I mean, Hayden, you know he's coming for you. You know he's going to he's irritating, he's aggravating, but he's powerless, you know, unless he wins the immunity. But, I mean, at this point, anybody can win the immunity. Hayden's got less of a chance to win if he squeaks in the end. Tyson can argue, in my opinion, he could argue that he can make a better argument to win over Hayden. Plus, Hayden has nobody on the jury, really, you know? If Sierra makes it to the end, and she's got her mom, and Tina, and Katie, and I don't know that she has them, but, I mean, perception is that she would, you know, the whole mother-daughter thing going on there.
Yeah.
That's three votes. That's 60% of the way there. I'd get rid of Sierra.
Now, I don't disagree with you.
Sierra, if you're listening, that's a compliment.
That's a compliment. Yeah, Boston Rob's been very complimentary of you, Sierra, if you're listening. Okay. Now, if Sierra, I think, is also the person, but I think it's more because that there's a very good chance her mom is coming back into the game at the final once we get down to four, and then her mom becomes number five.
You don't know that. That's speculative.
It's speculative, but look, how many challenges has Laura won at Redemption Island this season?
Nothing, dude. Maddie won all the challenges and then lost the last one.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I hear what you're saying, but like if she came back, then that would be dangerous because there'd be two votes. I guess it's another reason to vote her off, but I don't think it's the primary one. I think she's already given many reasons to get rid of her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't yell at my boy. We all know this happened.
I think Hayden does have a chance to win the game because I feel like if he can get to the
end. I think he has a chance to win. I do. I think he's fighting. I do. I didn't mean to say that he doesn't have a chance. I think Sierra has a better chance than Hayden, but I think Hayden still does have a chance. I mean, he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt last night that he still got fight. He wants to be there. And did he win Big Brother? Did he win that?
He won Big Brother 12,
okay, so there you go. The kid's a competitor. You know, like he's totally a competitor and, you know, he's a winner already. Mm-hmm. He's dangerous, too.
Yeah. Plus, those three guys that are sitting there on the jury, though, I think they'd be very pro Hayden because I think that Otis and Vetus, like, I think they would love to have an alternative to vote for instead of Tyson. Like, I think at the end of the day, like, sort of like on your season, people were pissed off at you, but it was like, well, am I really going to vote for Natalie or Phillip? I mean, I guess I gotta give it to Rob, even though I'm pissed off at him. Like, I think, but if there was somebody like Hayden that was there, I think they could, you know, look at them with a straight face and say, I think Hayden should win the game.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think Tyson's got to get rid of both of them. I think if he sits at the, he's got to sit at the end with Jervis and Monica, or Jervis and maybe somebody that comes. Who's on redemption?
Who's it's on that? Laura, Tina? Laura, Katie, and Tina.
Oh yeah, Katie's over there now too.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. Everybody that's on, the person that comes off redemption's got to go home. Because everybody on redemption, I mean, that's a four-person block if they're close enough, you know? So if they can get one of those people to the end, that's three votes for any one of them.
Now, I know you won Survivor Redemption Island. Do you like Redemption Island, or would you rather see a season without Redemption Island?
I don't know if I really like it. I like the idea of it when if I got voted off, but I never got voted off, and it was more of a pain in the ass than anything else. I mean, I don't know.
I think that's what everybody says. Everybody says, well, I would like it if I was on the show.
Yeah, if I got voted off, I'd like it as a safety net. But, like, honestly, for me, it was more of a hindrance not knowing. We didn't know how it worked because that was the first season. But it really put a lot more up in the air. We didn't know if one person was coming back, two people, all of them. Nobody knew how it was going to work. So it was like this unknown quantity. It's kind of like the idol, like you want to just know so that you can neutralize it. And I don't know. I guess it's good for the game because it enhances the thinking and it enhances the strategy, and there's something else that you have to think about. I mean, I know that this season with the loved ones and the couples, it became like if your loved one was voted out, then another clique was established between those people. If your loved one is on the jury, then that's like, you know, another alliance. Like, it's people bond over the funniest things in this game, you know? A lot of times it's what tribe you arbitrarily placed on in the first place. It's us versus them mentality. And then it's like returning players versus people that haven't played before. Or if your loved one is on the jury or not on the jury. Or, you know, if your loved one is still in the game or has been both. But like this season, it seems like the majority alliance was people whose loved one was voted off early. That's what established the majority alliance, because the fact that their loved one was gone, they became a non-threat. In my opinion, the fact that their loved one was gone early, I think, helped them a lot because it took a little bit of a target off of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Had Rachel not, it's ironic that Rachel was voted out because they thought they would get Tyson to switch and go to redemption. But in the end, I think Rachel getting voted out is the reason why Tyson was able to kind of skirt under the radar as long as he was. And he wasn't seen as such a big threat early on. He was able to get in there, establish relationships, real relationships, and ultimately that, you know. So if Tyson does end up pulling it out, it's only because of Rachel.
No. Yeah, you give her all the credit.
I just messed. They're both good friends of mine.
Right. I mean, if Vetus got voted off at the first vote, like that could very well be Otis with Tyson instead of Jervis there heading towards the final.
I agree. I totally agree. Although, you know, like here's the other thing. Like it never seemed to be an issue that like Aris and Tina were winners. You know, when we played on Survivor All-Stars, that was like a huge thing. And it's like, okay, not for the fact that because they've won and they've already won the money, but the fact that they've won the game, they're pretty smart, they know what they're doing. Like, that alone should be threatening. Although with Tina, I think it's a little bit different because, like, she won so long ago and it was such a different game then. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this idea of integrity and all that other stuff is like, you know, takes a backseat now to like the actual manipulating and strategy and, you know, social aspect. So I wonder if the fact that you won, since it's been so long ago, is even like really relevant in what I'm trying to convey here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. So let me ask you one more thing about the episode, and then I'll jump into some of these questions. It was really interesting. I thought Jervis goes and casts his vote, and he actually, it looks like he basically like screams his vote and basically says that he writes, "Hey, Dunn," on his card and says, "Hey, this isn't Big Brother. You know, you tried to, you know, step to us, whatever. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody is casting a vote, whether it was for you or for somebody else, where they did something like that, where they basically like publicly voted for the person?
No, but you know, Philip was pretty outspoken around camp about how he felt about the Zapatera tribe, and to the point where it was comical. But I think he did that, you know, that was part of his strategy, so he would be seen as a loyal person, and you know, we wouldn't vote him out. I think he's just, you know, Jervis, I think it's getting to him a little bit. You know, the game gets to you. I saw Tyson break down. I fell for him, man. I've been through that, you know? And I see Jervis, like, you know, feeling like he's not realizing the repercussions of his actions. And he's not thinking down the road that, man, don't act like an ass because you just lost another vote. You just lost another vote. You know, not to mention everybody else sitting here is watching you act like this. I mean, in the first or second episode where he rubbed it in the face and his niece was voted off, he's rubbing people the wrong way. And sometimes, you know, in the heat of battle, in the heat of the moment, does not take anything away. Like, I like Jervis. I think he's a good guy. Well, like sometimes in the heat of battle, your emotions get the best of you and you just react. And like in Survivor, you can't do that. You got to think. You got to think. You always have to think. When in doubt, keep your mouth shut, you know? And he didn't get that memo yet.
Absolutely. Before I jump into some of these questions, do you mind sharing the story you were telling me about when you played Candyland recently with your daughter?
That she stacked my 4.5-year-old Lucia. She stacked the deck. We played Candyland and it had cards, and it tells you how many spaces to move. And like unprovoked, I don't know where or how, but she stacked the deck so that she could win. I don't know where she got the idea to do this or what, but she did. And I caught on, you know, pretty early, because like there's certain spaces on the board that like you jump to the rainbow or you jump to the star or whatever it is, you know, and all of a sudden every time it was too much of a coincidence that she could have gotten all these cards in a row. And then I saw the smile on her face and I could see it in her eyes. And I called Amber in, and I was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "You can't do this." So I shuffled the cards and got upset. But yeah, I don't know where it came from, man.
That's so funny. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
All right. So let's jump into some of these questions. Of course, these come to us from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast on our Facebook fan page. Facebook.com/Rob Has a Podcast. This is sort of an interesting thing that people have come across. It seems as though people, after they play Survivor with you, they come back and seem to have been a changed person. So Adam Selkov wants to know, which of your fellow tribe mates played the game best after they played with you? Philip, Andrea, Coach, or Tyson? Rob, is this a real phenomenon that people play Survivor with you and become a new person?
I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe I should get a cut.
Yeah.
Cut of their winnings, right? I think they've all played better. But I don't know if it's because they play with me. I think just in general, look, with me, every time I play the game, I try to learn from my mistakes. That's what I did, you know? And I think it's smart to do that. I think only a fool makes the same mistakes and continues to make the same mistakes over and over and over again and doesn't change what they do. I mean, that's just...
Sorry.
That's pretty idiotic to do that. And so I think in general, I think learning from your mistakes is important. And I think they may have, you know, taken a page out of what I've done. And I'm flattered if they did do that. As far as who's played it the best, Coach played pretty good. I give it to him. I love the way Philip plays. I just do. You know, he's himself. And he knows who he is. I always thought Andrea was strong, and I still think she's a strong and competitive player. I think Andrea would be good to get another shot, too. I think she could win. And I think Tyson's probably playing the best right now. You know, I hope he can close it. I hope he gets rid of Sierra. And I don't know if he will or not, but I think he needs to. In order to win, I think he needs to.
I was looking at this before we jumped on the phone this morning. So this tribe that you played with in Survivor Heroes versus Villains, I think that they're going to look back at this and this tribe was like you want to call it the 27 Yankees, you probably want to call it the 2004 Red Sox or the 2013 Red Sox or the 85 Bears. This tribe that you were on, this Villains tribe. As of right now, the people that were on this tribe have 10 appearances in the Survivor Finals, and this doesn't even include if Tyson goes. That will be the 11th appearance from this Villains tribe in the Survivor Final 2 or 3.
It was me, Parvati.
Yeah, you have two. So here's
Coach.
Yeah, you have two. Sandra has two. Parvati has two. Russell has two. Courtney and Coach both have one, and Tyson could have one. Only Danielle, Randy, and Jerry are the only people that have never made the final three out of that tribe of 10.
I love Courtney too. I think Courtney should have another shot. She is a pistol.
And why not?
She's a good player. I think she can get another go at it. That was a fun tribe. I wish Tyson never went on a limb. We could have taken that one down too.
Yeah, but I feel like, I mean, considering like what we, you know, have established here, all these finals appearances, and I know if you do things differently, then three of them don't get a finals appearance in that season. But I mean, this was, you know, talk about a stacked deck. This is probably the toughest tribe that's ever been assembled. And you guys were one vote away from running it.
Yeah, we were. It was close. Interesting analysis.
Yeah. This is a good question, too, from Oren Shaw. He wants to know, what would you have done if you were Otis and Tyson was making you look like a bigger threat through jokingly criticizing your behavior, or if Tyson ever tried to do that with you in Heroes versus Villains? Now, I suspect that he didn't. But so this is, do you remember in this season when Tyson and Aris were in the other tribe, and basically Tyson was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Aris is cutting down a tree. What a jerk he's being. I mean, I can't believe Aris is coming in here and eating all your food." And Otis is like, "All right, Tyson, I know you're breaking my balls, whatever." But Tyson was being strategic about that. What would you have done if you were in Otis's?
Got to give it right back, and he didn't. Aris accepted it, and I wouldn't have done that. I would have given it right back. I would have been like, "I'm eating the bananas, but you're off like doing this or doing that." Or like, give it right back to him. Find something and give it right back in another way and flip it back on him. You know, you have to. Because as soon as you accept that, then you're basically agreeing with him. So you got to find something that he's doing. And be like, "Look, I'm sorry that he's doing X, Y, and Z," or whatever it is.
Yeah. Did you feel like that Aris should have gotten the clue there that maybe Tyson was planning to make a move against him?
Yeah, I don't know, but Tyson doesn't. He's smart about it. He doesn't in a way that it's funny and it seems non-threatening. And he could easily go back to camp and be like, bro, what are you talking about? I was just making some jokes. You know, I was just making a joke. And Aris isn't going to confront him. He's smart. Aris is a real smart player. You know?
Very good.
That's pretty clear. So he kind of like just said it to try to squash it and be like, all right, that's enough. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha. If I were Tyson, I would have continued to do it and do it and do it to the point where he really got upset and then I'd stop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is from Chelsea Giller. She wants to know, what's the most effective way to shake off a big target? We talked about this a little bit, but I think it's an interesting subject. It's clear that Tyson's in control, and he's doing a decent job not to get completely crippled by the target, but players like Kim Spradlin, Brian Heidick, and yourself mastered this. What's the key to doing this? How do you get people not really thinking about how, boy, Rob is the biggest target now that you mention it?
You got to put it somewhere else. I mean, that's what you have to do, and you have to believe it, and you have to make everybody else believe it, but you have to put that target somewhere else. So if it's me and I'm the biggest target, then I'm going to talk about how annoying somebody is or how much of a threat they might be, and Tyson's doing a good job of it, how many jury votes they might have, whatever it is, and you have to think about what's in the best interest of those other people too, and what makes sense, not necessarily for yourself, but for somebody else. Look, yeah. There's like so many different layers to the game. Like we could talk about it all day. I mean, every day for years, and you'd never cover anything. A lot of it is feel.
I know that.
Like a lot of it is feel, but a lot of it is, you know, situational too. So what might work in one situation may not work in another situation, just depending on the people. And what may work with one person at one particular time, at one particular day, may not work another particular time of day, depending on their emotional state of being, their physical state of being. Like, there's so many different variables and factors. It's a lot like poker or like a poker tournament. You don't go in with a set objective. I think that's why like I love playing poker, and like there is a lot of parallels between it and Survivor. But you don't go into a tournament with a set game plan. The objective is set. The objective is to win. But your game plan is you're going to have to be adaptable. You're going to have to see what other people are doing. You're going to have to act and react based upon what happens. Then there's a certain unquantifiable degree of luck that you have no control over that you can't do anything about. So the best players in poker always seem to get to the end. Why is that? It's because, you know, they're best able to adapt to different situations. And I think in Survivor, like you talk about like having a target, and like if you recognize a situation, how you react and how you adapt to it and how you handle it is going to affect other things that are going to happen along the way and different outcomes. But at the same time, there's some things that you don't have any control over. Like, technically, you can't control another person. There's no such thing. You can influence, and hopefully your influence is strong enough to warrant your desired reaction, but you can't control them. You understand?
Yeah, absolutely. So, let me... was there anything else with that, or keep moving?
I mean, like, I just think, like, with you, when you talk about how do you move a target, you have to put the target on someone else. You can't necessarily take it off of you unless you place it somewhere else. It has to go somewhere. So I find the best way to deal with it is to deflect it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Very good. Let's go to Patrick Hagen. He wants to know, if Cesternino brought his copy of the BR rules with him when he plays Survivor again, how much better off will he be? I don't really want to talk about that, but this leads me into a question about, is Tyson playing by the BR rules?
I don't know. I think he's doing a pretty good job. Yeah, I mean, he's done his homework. He's paying attention. I think he's playing his own game, but I think he's taken, you know, a bit of what he's seen me do, and he's implementing it into his own game. I can't take credit for him. He's out there doing it, and I think he's doing a real good job, and I agree with a lot of what he's doing, and a lot of what he does is what I would do. But then there are other things that he's done that I necessarily wouldn't have done. But, you know, like, the other thing is we only see a fraction of what's actually happening. So I don't know exactly what's happening. Even though we've both been through the show multiple times, we don't know what's going on at any particular time. So, yeah.
True or false, the Boston Rob rulebook makes a great stocking stuffer.
Come on, man. Everybody knows that's true.
Everybody knows that's true. Yeah. If you want to check out Boston Rob Rulebook, go to robiswebsite.com/BR rules if you want to check that out. Everybody on your Christmas list will be very excited to get that.
There's actually an address on my website. If people want to send it, when they get it, I'll sign it for them.
Whoa.
Obviously for free. Yeah. They just ask that you send a return envelope.
There you go. That is a very nice Christmas gift. How about this? Mark Kell wants to know, what did Rob think about Tyson's comment where he said Survivor has destroyed a lot of people's lives in light of animosity from a lot of the other players that we've seen over the years? Did you have anything that you wanted to add on that when Tyson talked about how, hey, Survivor is supposed to be a fun thing, but a lot of people let it ruin their lives?
Well, I don't know so much that it ruined their lives, but I think it's just, you know, you have to treat it for what it is. It's a really awesome opportunity and experience, and you should accept it as that, nothing more, nothing less. Like someone like me, it's kind of difficult to say it's just that, because look at, like, I've had so many amazing things come from it. I met my wife. I have three beautiful daughters. You know, I've been able to do the show and travel the world and have amazing experiences, but I'm the exception and not the norm when it comes to that. So I think a lot of people might see how fortunate I've been from it, or some of the other people that have been really fortunate from it, and expect when they get the call that they're going to be on the show, that's what things are going to become for them. And it doesn't always work out like that.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And I do think there are a lot of people out there who have, really let Survivor ruin their lives, and they sit around and wait all day for, you know, how am I going to get back on the show, and you know, instead of going out and trying to, like, move on with the rest of their life.
Well, yeah, it should be an experience and an opportunity, and it shouldn't engulf your whole life.
Yeah.
There's more to life than just being on a reality TV show.
Yeah. Now, Rob, I know you said that your Survivor career, you've hung it up, that you've retired. But would you pull a Brett Favre, and would you come out of retirement to play in this big season that all the rumors are swirling about, that Survivor Robs versus Johns, where they take a tribe of all the players named Rob and a tribe of all the players named John? Would you come back and join me for Survivor Robs versus Johns?
How could I say no? How could I say no to something like that? That would be epic. And count me in for that.
Yeah. that it would be probably the most exciting season. Are you hoping
versus Johns, huh?
Are you hoping for
something you'd watch on Showtime after that?
Yeah, well, the big twist is that it's going to start with Bobby John and John Robert on Redemption Island to battle to see
John
who gets to come to the game.
Actually, he was here playing poker. I don't know him very well.
Is he pumped up for Rops versus Johns?
Yeah, I think he'd be pumped for it.
Will Olson wants to know, who's more of a little man, Coach or Jacoby Ellsbury?
Coach will always be a little man in my ass.
Even worse than Jacoby Ellsbury?
Jacoby is he's selling out like many Red Sox have done in the past. But it's $150 million, and that'll take care of him for the rest of his life. As long as he doesn't cut his hair like Gaiman did. That really bothered me. You know, he went on and on about how he's never cutting his hair. And, you know, 3 weeks later, he's in Steinbrenner's front office with his new do posing with the Yankees. Yeah.
By the way, congratulations on the most recent Red Sox championship. I feel like it's very underreported that you're the credit that you get for the reversing the curse of the Bambino.
It's not even funny. I got to tell you, since Amber and I have been married almost 9 years, every single year since we've been married, one of our teams has won the championship in one of the major sports. So... it's pretty awesome, you know. Every year we got somebody to root for.
Now, because you when you played Survivor the first time, you wore a Patriots hat, and then the Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl that year, right, in 2001.
Yep.
And so then, when you come back to Survivor, and I remember this this very well because it was Survivor All-Stars was happening 10 years ago right now. That about a few days from now, you and Amber are getting ready to go to the final Tribal Council 10 years ago, next week probably. And so I remember very well the Aaron Boone game had just happened right before we left to go play. And I remember we were talking about it on the beach, and you wore the Red Sox hat. And you said, hey, I wore a Patriots hat the first time. I'm wearing the Red Sox hat this time. And then the following October, what happens?
Sox won the World Series.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
So you did it. Where's the 30 for 30 on this?
Where's my statue at Fenway? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I know you got to go. Let me do one or two more quick ones. Ethan Hensel wants to know, Rob, what are your thoughts on Francesca being voted out first twice? Is that your fault? Did you start that?
That's not my fault, but five is probably just not for everyone.
Yeah,
I like Franny. She's a good. She's a nice lady. Nice girl.
And let's end with Jeff McGinnis wants to know, what advice about survivor fatherhood can you give the Rob that sucks? Do you have any advice for me being a survivor
so
dad
far?
Now?
You
oh, it's going
right.
Great. He's a good yeah, he's hanging in there. He's you know, it's a lot more stressful for Nicole because she's dealing with him a lot more, and I'm like going to work and making podcasts, but it's very, very good, very fun.
Well, all I'll tell you is that it goes fast. I mean, it seems like yesterday my first was born, and she's about to go to kindergarten next year, and just enjoy it, man. It's awesome. It's like it's gives you a whole new perspective on things. I mean, I think the last time I played Survivor, Amber was pregnant with my second child, and now I have three. I have three little girls, so. It's just awesome. I love being a dad, and I love spending time with them. And they get into the age now where it's a lot of fun. We're getting ready for Christmas. We got the elf on the shelf.
Yeah,
just see the magic in their eyes. Like right now, Yules is still little, and you know he's probably cooing and smiling and stuff. But like, just wait, like the changes in the first year, and then after that. Crawling and the walking and everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Will you be appearing at the Survivor finale again this time?
I will not. My daughter's birthday is next week. I'm in Vegas right now. I'm actually coming to LA this afternoon, and I'm going to go back to I'm going to go to a poker tournament in Mississippi. I'm going to take the red eye actually tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and then my daughter. But I'll be watching.
Okay, well, should be very fun down the stretch. Rob, I know you got a plane to catch, so thanks so much for coming on with us and giving us some time while you're traveling. Really, really always appreciate it when you come on with us.
Yeah, it's great, man. Tell Nicole I said hey.
I will.
I'll be looking forward to the end of the show. We'll talk again soon. All right.
Okay. Follow at Boston Rob on Twitter to hear what he has to say. He's back in tweeting up a storm. And if you want to check out the Boston Rob rule book, the BR rules, go to robiswebsite.com/BR rules and it'll take you to the page on Amazon. All right. Rob, all the best, buddy.
Thank you, Rob. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Boston Rob Mariano back here on Rob Has a Podcast. And speaking of back here on Rob Has a Podcast, look what the cat dragged in. Here she is. It's the one and only First Lady of Podcasting. You haven't given up your title, have you?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Here she is. It's Nicole Cesternino.
I'm back, bitches.
Yes, namaste, bitch. How are you?
I'm great.
Yes. Nicole, very happy to have you back.
It's nice to be invited back.
Now, Nicole, I believe the last time you were appearing on Rob as a Podcast, it was September 26th, 2013, a short 3 days before Dominic Cesternino was born.
Before I popped a kid out.
Before he popped a kid out. And at that time, we were talking and we said, okay, this is probably going to be it for Nicole for a while. And it was.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm off maternity leave now.
You're off maternity leave from the podcast,
yes.
Not from work.
Not from work.
Yes. Well, I'm sure everybody wants to know how you're doing.
I'm doing fantastic.
Yes?
Yes. I have a few more pounds to lose before I get back to my pre-pregnancy weight.
Okay. Me too.
No, you were the douche that went on a diet when I was pregnant.
Well, why is that douchey?
Who does that?
Why is that douchey?
Because if I'm gaining weight, you're losing weight.
Yeah.
Douche.
Well, it's not, everything's not about you.
It is all about me.
I'm supposed to gain weight because you're having a baby?
Most men do. It's called sympathy weight.
I have no sympathy weight.
You have no sympathy.
I'm very sorry about that. I'm sorry I'm trying to stay hot and be a dilf.
You don't have to do much to stay hot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Nicole. Now I know you're not feeling like yourself. All right. So Nicole is here. We're going to get into your voicemails in just a bit. Nicole, we had a nice chat with Boston Rob.
You always do.
He says hello.
Oh, hello, Boston Rob.
Yes. Me and Boston Rob. It's like I've done a complete 360 on this guy.
You went in a circle?
Yes. Yes, I have. I have. It's a love fest.
Oh, good.
Yes.
We love love fest.
We love love fest.
Mm-hmm.
No, Boston Rob was that they sent a gift for the baby.
Yes.
That, oh, my God. Boston Rob, what a great guy.
Let's not forget about Amber, too. Her name was on the card.
Yeah, Rob and Amber.
Yes.
Romber, they call them. Yeah. Oh, loving the Boston Rob these days. Maybe he's just trying to sucker me in that for another survivor.
That's probably what it is. Yeah.
Probably.
He's just waiting to get back there with you.
Waiting, trying to get me to put my guard down. All
what
right.
Is
well,
everything about you?
It's working. It's called, the show's called Rob Has a Podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. So Nicole's here to go get into your voicemails. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Plus, we're going to talk about everything going on with the survivors on social media. But Nicole, first, I got to tell you, in case you haven't been here in a little while, can I tell you a little bit about Hover.com?
What is Hover.com?
All right. Well, Hover.com is a site that makes domain management simple. Now, do you know what a domain name is?
I do. I do have my own website.
Oh, yes. You do a website?
Yes.
Yes. And now, how did you get a domain for your website?
I told you to get it.
Yes. Yes. So, hypothetically speaking, if we were divorced and you didn't know
Which
how
is
to make
probable.
It, and you, what website would you make if we were divorced?
Hover.com.
No, you can't make Hover.com.
Oh, I thought you said, what would I use?
That's already taken. See, this is why you need help.
Mm-hmm.
What website would you want to make if we were divorced?
I would make Nicole Has a Website.
Nicole's website. You already have Nicole's website.
But it's not called Nicole Has a Website.
All right. So hypothetically speaking, you would need a lot of help.
I need a lot of help.
And that's where our friends at Hover.com come in. Sure, there are other places where you can go to register a domain name that spend a lot of money on Super Bowl commercials and stuff like that. But
And naked chicks,
yes. Well, that's not all bad. But the Hover.com, they are instead of spending all their money on advertising on Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. They're going to advertise on podcasts.
Which is better.
And then they're going to spend that money
on the people that go online.
On customer support mm-hmm. for people like you. And Hover.com has the best customer service in the industry. They have a no-hold phone policy. How many places can say that, Nicole?
No place.
Well, Hover.com can. And they take all of the guesswork out of setting up a domain name for your website. They even throw in Whois privacy. So if you, a lot of times you go register a website, then people can see like all personal information about you, but not when you do it on Hover.com. They give you all that for free.
Oh, it makes me want to create another website.
Yes, and if that other website could be a .NET too, because Hover does great work with .NET websites, which are just as good. So check that out from our friends over at Hover.com. Save 10% on a new registration for a website domain name when you use the promo code ROB. Oh, why does it always have to be your name promo code?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Why does it always have to be about you?
It's always about you.
Yeah. All right.
Even on Hover.com.
even on Hover.com. Yeah. Use promo code ROB and save 10%. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Before we can jump into the voicemails, I know there was a couple things that I wanted to talk about with you since we have you here.
Okay.
So, Nicole, I know we were watching the episode last night. I actually watched the episode earlier before we did the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then I was watching it with you.
We like to sit down together and watch
it. Yes, when you were watching it on the West Coast, and you were loving this episode because...
I did.
A lot of people may not know this. You are a huge fan of the Coconut Bandits.
I love the Coconut Bandits. Don't mess with my coconuts.
Well, everybody out there, don't mess with Nicole's coconuts, please. It's Dominic's job.
Yes.
What is it about Tyson and Jervis that tickles you so much?
They just crack me up. I love them.
Yeah.
I could not stop laughing.
Yeah, what is it that they do that is making you laugh so much?
I was laughing so hard when Jervis was voting last night, and he was doing it so loud that everybody could hear it. And then he wrote, "Hey, done." That put me over the edge.
Yes. All right. So that appeals to you.
Yes. I feel like that's something that I would have done.
What about when Tyson found the immunity idol?
Oh, I was cracking up.
Well, what part of it?
What do you mean?
When he where did he hide the hidden immunity idol?
In his bulge.
Because nobody would suspect it there.
Suspect the bulge, but that's not true. I think we do suspect.
You suspect that when Tyson's bulge is an immunity idol? That's what you suspect?
Yes.
Yeah. Were you happy the Coconut Bandits got to eat ice cream?
Yes. Team Coconut Bandits.
Because if you were on Survivor, you would also steal the food.
I would steal the food. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Right. And I would put immunity idols in my pants.
Why?
Because it seems like fun.
All right. Well, then now you're giving people the wrong idea. You're not that much fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway.
All right. So what did you make of the Russell Feathers versus Ruffle Feathers debate? Is Hayden Moss right? Can you say that you Russell Feathers?
No, I believe Tyson was correct.
You always take the Coconut Bandit side.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that also cracked me up, how he like interrupted tribal council to correct him.
But in all seriousness, do you feel like is that smart Survivor play? I know you
to Russell Feathers.
No, not to Russell Feathers. For Tyson to correct Hayden's grammar and say, actually, it's not Russell Feathers, it's Ruffle Feathers.
Well, there's nothing more I hate in the world than the grammar police.
Mm-hmm.
But when Tyson does it, it's funny.
It's funny, but is it good strategy? Is that helping Tyson win the game or hurting Tyson winning
the game? I think that was just Tyson being Tyson.
You think it had no impact?
None. I think it was just funny.
Okay. And what about the name Russell Feathers? Do you like that for another boy child?
Well, he was nominated into the Survivor Hall of Fame.
Russell Feathers is nominated for the Survivor Hall of Fame?
He was.
By who?
I think Gordon Holmes tweeted it or something.
Oh, well, congratulations to Russell Feathers.
Because he ruffles feathers.
Yeah. Now, one other thing before we jump into the voicemails. You know, I was thinking about this last night, and this whole thing that ended up happening with the 3-3 vote when there's six people left. You know, I had an interesting experience in my Survivor season when we were down to just six people left in the mm-hmm. game. And so I don't know what the comparison to this is, okay? But I was in an alliance of three people with Butch and Matt, mm-hmm. okay? So it's me and Butch and Matt when there's six people left. And then there was Jenna and Heidi, who mm-hmm. are, we'll basically put them in the Hayden and Katie role. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sixth person who was Christy. Mm-hmm. And Christy, you know, was being pulled between the two sides that we said, hey, come with us. We didn't tell her you're the four. We right. didn't tell her you were the four, but Jenna and Heidi said, you're four if you go with them. The guys are going to stick together. You're number four. And truthfully, she was number four.
But aren't they always?
Yeah, they're always. If somebody tells you you're number four, you're probably number four.
Yeah.
So Jenna and Heidi were saying, hey, come with us. Come and be one. You'll be number three with us. Mm-hmm. And Christy went back and forth. And I was like, well, Christy, what are we doing here? Are you going to tell me? Mm-hmm. And so we went back and forth. Now, my decision at that point in time was I said to Jenna and Heidi, hey, why don't we just vote out Christy? And they were like, okay, sure. Now, I don't think that Hayden and Katie would have taken that same deal because it's a bad deal. You know?
Yeah, well, it worked out for Jenna.
It works. Sure, sure. Sometimes things work out, but they shouldn't. Sometimes they shouldn't. and sometimes like Tyson, you know, you get very close and then somebody pulls the rug out from under mm-hmm. you. But, you know, that was, you know, they probably shouldn't have taken that deal. Jenna and Heidi in Survivor of the Amazon should have been willing to draw rocks mm-hmm. like Hayden. Yeah.
Hayden
and Katie did on last night's episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was probably the better strategic move. And it was also probably the better strategic move for Christy to do.
Well, yeah.
Because I think all three of them probably... Now, again, forget what we know Jenna was going to win two immunities right. and was going to win the game. But, you know, if you take immunities out of the equation, and I guess you have to, you know, you can't predict it, so just take it out of the equation. What would have happened is we voted out Christy, mm-hmm. then we voted out Heidi, and we would have voted out Jenna. Mm-hmm. And so the three of them would have gone down 1, 2, 3. But if... What they could have done was force the issue with the rocks. Now, the only thing that was a little tricky for me was I felt like that now the season before, now again, now in Survivor 27, we're like, oh my God, Survivor Marquesas. Who even remembers that? That was 23 seasons ago. But for me in Survivor the Amazon, Survivor Marquesas was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So it was very vivid in my head. And we're like, oh my God. Well, I don't want to pull rocks. I don't want to lose the game like Pascal mm-hmm. and be the one to draw the rocks. Now, there had never been.
Wasn't it a purple rock?
It was a purple rock uh-huh. in Survivor Marquesas. Don't get me started on that. But so there had never been rocks drawn at six people. And I felt like I was trying to get a straight answer from the producers of like, how does the tie break work when mm-hmm. if there's six people? And they were like, well, we'll explain it to you at tribal council. And like, I felt they would not give me a straight answer.
They really didn't know.
I don't know if it was the same, but if there were the same rules then, which there are now. And again, I don't know if they are the same. Right. They wouldn't give me a straight answer as far as what they were doing. So what would have happened is Jenna, Heidi, and Christy would vote for me, three mm-hmm. votes for Rob, mm-hmm. and then I guess we were probably going to vote. Jenna had immunity, mm-hmm. so we would have voted for Heidi. So now it's three votes for Rob, three votes for Heidi, and everybody goes in and everybody votes, and then it comes back. Okay, now tiebreak vote. Okay, now you have to either vote for Rob or you have to vote for Heidi. Now Rob and Heidi can't vote. Okay, mm-hmm. so Butch and Matt presumably. again, presumably, they go ahead and they vote for Heidi, and Christy and Jenna vote, and they vote for Rob. Okay, now we're deadlocked, 2-2 tie. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so what happens is, I guess there's a deadlock, and then they say, okay, now Rob and Heidi, you're immune. Mm-hmm. Jenna, you have the immunity.
That's a good deal.
The immunity. Yeah, I'm saying like maybe this wouldn't have been so bad. Mm-hmm. And now Butch, Matt, and Christy pick a rock.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, at the end of the day, if one of those guys, you know, went out, I mean, I'm like Hayden. I'm like cheering and on the way out, and I'm walking out. You know, maybe I can get my way back into this game.
Yeah. Do you think we're gonna see more of the Rocks in the future?
I do. I think so. I think that people
now that we know there's immunity involved.
Yeah. Now that you know that there's immunity involved, now that people have seen it play out and see what it is, I think that in the 4-2 situation, I think somebody might say, "Hey, I'm not afraid to pick the Rocks."
Mm-hmm.
But. It worked out. It did work out that night for me. I still think that was the right decision to do that.
You could have pulled the Rock.
No, I couldn't have pulled the Rock.
But you had immunity.
I would have certainly made it through that night's vote.
Yeah,
Christy may have in this alternate reality. Let's say that Christy pulled the Rock because that will restore the timeline of Survivor the Amazon. So in this alternate timeline, Christy decides to go with the women. They go 3-3 vote. We pull the Rocks and Christy pulls the Rock. And then she ends up not leaving the game, saying that I'll never vote for the evil stepsisters. That's and then she votes for Matt in the end.
Okay.
There you go. All right. That's the only difference in the timeline. All right. So let's get into some voicemails. Was that boring? Was that a good revisionist history? Some people probably, a lot of people probably turned it off after Boston Rob.
Probably. Especially when they found out I was coming.
Probably. All right. So do you want to talk about how I originally had asked you to be on Survivor Know-It-Alls?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Talk about that real quick. And how you were mad at me.
Yes, because last week you had asked me to go to be on Survivor Know-It-Alls, but then Steven said he could do it. And he said, okay, we'll have you next week because Steven can't do it. So I said, okay, cleared my schedule.
Really?
Yes. And then I don't find out until yesterday that,
First off, you weren't even home when we did Survivor Know-It-All. So how did you clear your schedule?
I rebooked.
You rebooked it. Okay. But very, very quickly, Stephen Fishback originally didn't think he was going to be able to do Survivor Know-It-Alls last week.
Right.
It turned out, and I said, okay, well, it's the night before Thanksgiving. This might be a fun. It was also short notice that he said, by the way, I can't do it tomorrow or whatever. And I said, hey, Nicole, could you do Survivor Know-It-Alls with me? Because I don't think it's the night before Thanksgiving. I don't know who I'm going to be able to rebook. And Stephen said, actually, you know, I can do it later. So I had Stephen back, but he said, I can't do it next week. And then so I said, okay, well, maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it next Wednesday.
No, you said.
And then I saw it, that it was going to be this really big episode. And in fairness to Kim Spradlin, she has a better Survivor resume than you do. And I thought we needed somebody with a resume to break down this episode last night.
Well, I do have a big podcasting resume.
Yes. Okay. Well, and that's why you're here.
Mm-hmm. I'm at the end of the show with no one listening.
Don't be jealous of Kim. don't hate on Kim.
Don't cancel on your wife.
Don't be another hater. All right. So let's talk to Matt Forsyth, and let's get the voicemail started with Matt. Take it away. He wants to talk about Sierra playing the idol.
Rob and Nicole, Matt Forsyth here. Ooh. Also, by the way, having Nicole on the podcast is amazeballs. Okay, so what I'm wanting to know is, what was the correct play for Sierra to make with the idol clue? Obviously, she chose the worst decision because she ended up giving the idol clue to the three people she voted against. But, you know, is she supposed to just keep it to herself? Does she just share it with Tyson? How does she play the idol clue at this point in the game? Thanks. Bye. Love you, Nicole. Bye.
Oh, Matt Forsyth is such...
Thank you, Matt. At least I know I'm appreciated by somebody.
All right, Nicole, so show us your Survivor chops. What should Sierra have done with the clue to the hidden immunity idol? Now, obviously, what she did do was not such a good idea. She went back and shared it with Tyson, Jervis, and Monica. Tyson then found the idol, did not share it with her, and then she had to vote against those three at Tribal Council.
Well, she thought that she was in alliance with them, right?
She did at the time.
Did she really think she wasn't number four, though?
I think she was convinced that Monica was number four. Mm-hmm. And you have to give credit to your coconut bandit buddies because they may have...
My boys.
Yes, to your boys, because they had her thinking that she was number three.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, then your boys taketh away. They, especially Jervis and Monica, blew it at Tribal Council that she was actually number four.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Okay, Survivor know-it-all, tell us, what should Sierra have done with the clue to the hidden immunity idol?
Put it in her pants.
Put it in her pants, okay. And now, would that have made her a target? Do you think that the guys and Monica would have said, hey, if you don't share the idol clue with us, then you're the target and you will be the next one to go home?
Yeah, I think she was screwed regardless. That idol clue always screws you.
Yeah. Should she have just put it in the fire?
You know, maybe she would have had a better outcome for her.
Well, I mean, she's still in the, she might have been voted
right, but
out.
Now Tyson has the idol.
Now Tyson has the idol, so yeah.
It's in the hands of its rightful owner.
Yes, well, you know, they say, if you love something, let it go.
It's like a butterfly.
And if it comes back to you, it'll last forever. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened with Tyson and the hidden immunity idol. So probably the right idea would have been to burn it in the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or as Boston Rob suggested, give out a fake one. Now, Boston Rob, what he had said for everybody who's gotten this far in the podcast knows this, except for Nicole.
Please enlighten me.
He said, give out a fake clue, like read a fake poem of where the idol is.
You have to be clever to do that.
You have
though.
To be clever to do that.
Mm-hmm. I could see Boston Rob doing that. I don't know about Sierra.
So,
because then she's got a rhyme also.
Yeah. So what happened with that was Sophie had actually suggested that on Twitter a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes sense.
And Steve in Fishbeck says this is the dumbest idea ever.
Why?
Because Steve in Fishbeck says you will be exposed as a liar. So Stephen Fishback and Boston
but
Rob not
be
on the they are not on the same page with this, because then when somebody finds the idol and it's not he says you'll end up looking bad.
I think it's overthinking it.
Okay, all right. So let's go to Will McQuaid. Okay, here is Will.
Hi Rob, this is Will from Hamilton, Ontario. My question is why the newbies voted for Monica. My understanding is that if Tyson played the idol, he wouldn't have to draw rocks anyways, so they have to assume the idol won't be played. In that case, I have to think Monica has a higher incentive to flip than Tyson does during the revote. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much.
Okay. Are you following?
Yeah, I actually thought the same thing. Like, why did they vote for Monica and not Tyson?
Why did they vote for Monica and not Tyson? Well, a couple things here. One, do they suspect Tyson has the hidden immunity idol?
They didn't show us anything to make
They didn't show us anything, but maybe do they suspect Tyson? Tyson may have found the hidden immunity idol, only because nobody knew he had it last time. But I think it's actually a very good point, because is Monica or Tyson more likely to flip against the three?
It'd be definitely Monica.
Or against the other two.
Yeah.
You would think so. Yeah. But the truth is we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it would be Monica rather than Tyson to flip.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, Monica, that we have seen earlier this season, oh, Monica's so paranoid. She's always wondering, is it her? Is it her? Is it her? When you are faced with that bag of rocks and the question is, you know, are you going to be the one to go home? Like, I think you do crazy things.
Yeah, but after all of the Tyson attacking from Haydon, like, you would think that they would have voted for him.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Okay. All right, let's talk to Claire, and she has a question about your boy, Jervis.
Hi, Rob. It's Claire from Australia. Just wanted to know, has Jervis alienated himself from the jury members if he gets to the end from last night's tribal council with a seemingly arrogant approach to Haydon and his previous deception of Iris? I saw a lot of Eliza Orland's eye rolling and was wondering what you thought about the edit so far of the jury.
Now, is Claire watching the show with Eliza?
Was she at the wine and cheese?
No, she's in Melbourne.
Oh.
So what do you think, Nicole? Your boy Jervis, is he losing jury votes with his behavior? Boston Rob certainly felt like
he
was.
Well, he definitely lost his niece with his behavior.
Yeah, even if his niece was on the jury, would she vote for him?
Probably not.
So can Jervis win the game?
I don't think so.
What if Jervis votes out Tyson? Okay.
Well, then he would win over.
He would win
over.
He
would, but I don't think he's going to vote out Tyson.
Why? Well, why doesn't he vote out Tyson?
Because they're coconut bandits together.
So Jervis has to settle for, you know, the second place finish or third place finish.
I don't know.
But isn't it, I mean, if this was anybody else, mm-hmm. wouldn't we say, like, you know, the right movie, he's got to figure out a way to get rid of Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be the right move, but I don't know, would he do it?
Now, again, Hayden came to him last night and said, hey, you're playing for second place. And Jervis said, show me a move. Show me a move that I can make.
But I don't think he thinks that he's playing for second, because then when he was picking for the ice cream challenge, he's like, this is my left-hand guy. Like, he thinks that he's, you know...
He thinks he's running the show?
Mm-hmm.
But I think he has to think... So you think Jervis thinks he can beat Tyson in the end?
I think that's possible.
He's got to get rid of Tyson.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He's got to get rid of Tyson, and I just don't know when.
Yeah, he's got to get rid of Tyson, and that'll definitely turn the jury.
Because I feel like Monica is closer to Tyson than she is to him.
Than she is to Jervis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, now there's five people left. Could Jervis go with Sierra and Hayden? No, because Jervis pissed off Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
But the move, a good move for Jervis next week would be to go with Hayden and Sierra and vote out Tyson.
Yeah, and I'm sure Hayden would take him. He needs the numbers.
But yeah, I guess so. We'll have to see if Hayden is bitter.
From seeing him play on Big Brother,
I don't think he would care. But I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's where Jervis is head at.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right? Let's go to our good buddy Holly Not Hoffman. Okay, you ready? Holly Not Hoffman. She wants to know about the jury.
Hey Rob, I have a question about the finale and whether or not it's going to be the same format as last year with the stupid only jury on the stage. I think it's really likely that it's going to happen because, I mean, Colton didn't make the jury, so it would just be an excuse not to have him on the stage because I don't think Jeff Probst wants to deal with him again. What are your thoughts on this? Love the show. Bye.
All right, this is an interesting conversation to have with the finale coming up next Sunday night. Okay, Nicole, what do you think? Do you think that they're going to have the non-jury people sit in the audience this season, this time around?
I think they got a lot of crap for it last time.
They did. I don't think they're going to do this. And here's why. The season is Survivor blood versus water. So everybody is there with their family members. Now, for one thing we know, Brad Culpepper is not sitting in the audience at the Survivor
finale. No,
and
they want him on stage. They want to talk to him.
Yeah, so they want to say, all right, Monica, you're in the final three. Brad, what did you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
Brad, Monica won so many immunities. What was that like watching the show? Like, we're good, Monica. No, we're good. Now, do you think that they will have them sit in the order of... like going out, like will Brad Culpepper be like in the top row of the rafters, but Monica Culpepper's in the bottom row of the rafters, or will they sort of like have them sit with their loved ones?
That's interesting. I think they might have them sit with their loved ones.
It'll be interesting to see how they do this. This is sort of like a good subplot that they see.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what Jeff says to Colton. Do you think that Jeff is A, more likely...
ignore him.
Well... let me give you the. Is he more likely to kill Colton or B, more likely to just completely not even give him a question?
I have a feeling he's just going to ignore him.
Yeah, I could see it, but I kind of feel like Colton.
But he does like to take any jabs against Colton. He can.
Yeah, well, probably will not be does will not want to be ignored. So we'll see. We'll see. That'll be very interesting to see. All right, let's go to Brooks, and he wants to know about the Survivor tiebreaker scenario. Here's Brooks.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. This is Brooks from Canada. While the Rock tiebreaker provides very exciting moments, is it really worth it if it only happens on average once every 13 seasons? I feel like the old system, where whoever had the most votes at previous tribal councils would be the one to go home in the event of a tie, is much better, as it added a new layer of strategy to the game where you're trying to hide your past votes and find out how many past votes the other people have. And I think it also encourages people to flip when there's an even number of players left, because you wouldn't be scared of being eliminated by a rock at a tie vote that you flipped into. What do you think? Thanks.
All right, Nicole, what do you think of the Survivor tiebreaker? Should they go back from Purple Rock to who has the most previous votes against them?
That's so complicated.
Yes. Well, it is complicated on a number of levels because we don't always know who had what votes cast against them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you have a tribe of 10 people and somebody gets voted out. So maybe not every single vote gets shown against the person. But was that better? Was that better than this? The beauty of this is that, and why this has worked so well, is that we haven't had a vote end in a tie in 23 seasons.
Right.
Survivor, you get the sense, does not really love ties. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was, like, this was fun because it was such it was like Halley's Comet that they were going to draw rocks this season. You know, it hasn't happened in so long. But if this was happening, you know, 4 or 5 times a season of people picking the rocks, then I feel like it would get tired. But the beauty of the rocks is that it's a game of chicken. You have to, you know, basically, you know, driving your car, you know, into, you know, you're going head on into somebody and somebody's going to swerve.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, whether it's John Fincher, whether it's Cochran, whoever else, is going to say, hey, I am going to switch my Vetus this season. I'm going to switch my vote rather than go to the rocks.
Right.
And that's why it's been an effective thing. So I don't think they need to go back to, because it was so much of who has a vote against them, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems very old school.
It's too complicated.
I don't know. I don't know, Brooks. All right. A few more voicemails here, Nicole. All right. So let's go to, we're going to go to Josh in NYC, Nicole.
NYC.
Okay, here's Josh. Take it away, Josh.
Hey, Rob. Josh from New York here, a.k.a. leader of Rob Has a Pick'em.
Whoa.
I thought tonight that Aris, Vetus, and Caleb came very close to crossing the line on what would be considered jury intervention. They're laughing and nodding and you know, animated reactions. I really thought influenced Sierra to make the move. I mean, I'm happy that she did, but I'm curious if you thought they entered kind of that gray area of no communication by the jury.
Right.
Just curious to your thoughts. Keep up the great work, and let's go Mets.
Oh, thank you, Josh. Let's go Mets. See if the Mets are going to sign anybody this year.
What happened to Jeff Probst being a hard-ass on them?
All right, well, two things. First of all, Josh, do you think that the threesome of Otis, Vetus, and Caleb,
uh-huh,
okay, the peanut gallery,
yes,
do you think that they influenced the tie vote at all last night?
Well, he's right. They were very animated. They were showing exactly what they were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't even sit in the seats.
Yeah. No, it was like...
it was beyond Eliza.
Yeah, it was like Showtime at the Apollo audience last night. Yeah. People were getting up out of their seats.
Yeah, and they were like punching themselves in the head.
Yeah. Oh, they're going crazy. It was a very lively crowd at Tribal Council last night. So, Nicole, what do you think? So, do you think that they had any influence in the switch vote to a tie?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I think so too.
Yeah.
And do you think that they were inappropriate? Do you want to see Jeff Probst like, hey, you three, knock it off?
Well, didn't you get in trouble for winking when there was something in your eye?
I did get in trouble for winking when there was something in my eye, but that was, I was in the game, and I'm not sure if you were winking, if you were a person on the jury, I'm not sure you would get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You are not supposed to bring presents to the jury. We know this.
Wait, did someone try to do that?
Somebody brought a present to the jury and Jeff Probst shut it down. That's a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So let's take another question. This is from, this one comes to us from a listener in Chicago. Okay. And this is about Hayden.
Hey, Rob. This is Russell Feathers. I know the audience sees things differently than how they are on the island, but why do you think Hayden can see things so clearly? He seems to be the only one that realizes that given how things are going, Tyson will win. This seems so clear to us, but even Jervis and Monica feel like they must have a chance to win against Tyson, since they won't even think about making a move against him. Do you think Hayden just has a leg up because he played Big Brother and had a long time in the house to read and study people? Or is it something else? Thanks, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Russell Feathers, for the call.
And congratulations on your nomination.
Yes. Congratulations on your induction into the Hall of Fame. Yes. Well done, sir. Okay. Johnny Fairplay is very jealous of you tonight, yeah. Russell Feathers. Okay. So what do you think? What is it about Hayden? Why is Hayden able to see things clearly and see things almost as if he's home watching the show while other people are struggling?
Well, isn't it easier to see things from the outside rather than the inside?
So he's, so you're saying that as an outside, as he's not in the main alliance, he can see exactly how things are going?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Do you think that Hayden's big brother, like, is what level of experience of is 80 whatever days in the Big Brother house? And you come in and play Survivor. How does that, what's the conversion rate of, is 80 some odd days in the Big Brother house, is that like playing two Survivor seasons? Is it like playing 0.5 Survivor seasons?
Yeah, I don't really do math.
I would love to know. This is a question I need to ask Hayden Moss. What is the conversion of Big Brother seasons to Survivor seasons? And I'll tell you what. Jervis said some fighting words last night, and when he basically shouted out how this ain't Big Brother. I saw Dan Giesling tweeted, Jervis better not have called out Big Brother last night.
Oh, calm down, Giesling. Calm down.
No, people, the Big Brother people are upset.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a
Not Big Brother.
We don't want to start a war between Survivor and Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would not be fun for anybody.
It would not.
It would not be fun. So Jervis needs to be a little bit more, choose his words carefully. He's alienating a whole audience of people.
I think he needs to worry about the jury right now.
So, yeah, okay. So he's not just alienating the people on the jury. He's also alienating the Big Brother fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, watch it, Jervis. You know, yeah. Jervis actually went to the Big Brother house once.
Did he?
Yes. Big Brother 2.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Well, I think Jervis could handle whatever comes at him here.
Okay. All right. So one last question. This comes to us from Brandon. Not Brandon Hance and not Brandon Feathers. Brandon from Cleveland.
What's up, Rob? This is Brandon from Cleveland. I'm just going to try to be as quick as I can. First question I have is, I know you got so much coming up with this, the Survivor off season, so to speak, with the podcast, Miss Survivor, a potential role, so to speak. But I also really love your list / countdown podcast. And I was wondering, are we going to get the top 27 winners of Survivor podcast, like you talked about, some time ago, when you talk about ranking the winners? And also, my next question is, I'm not going to say why, but there's a real reason for it. I also heard that never mind. Actually, I'm not going to ask that one. All right.
No!
Don't leave us hanging
No! What
a CT.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Not cool.
This is going to kill me. This is like Lost when Sawyer whispered something in Claire's ear and jumped off the helicopter.
Brandon, you're not going to hear the end of this ever. He's going to be all up in arms all night.
What was the question?
We'll never know.
Oh my God. All right. So let me address the first question and try to gather.
I forgot what the first question was because I'm so focused on the non-question.
Okay. The first question was, Brandon wants to know, will we do a countdown of the top 27 winners of Survivor? Now, back in the spring, we were talking about, well, maybe we should do instead of the top 20, maybe let's rank the winners. Mm-hmm. And maybe let's do that of the 26 winners. But ultimately, what happened was that Nicole and I moved on June 1st. We were not playing Survivor. I know some people still think. We went and we're on Survivor Blood versus Water.
Yes,
but
I think Dominic is the winner.
Yes, Dominic's the winner. No, we really moved. Nicole really had a baby.
He really knocked me out.
Yes, it really happened. It wasn't a dream. but so we were going to do that. And then we moved for June 1st.
Yeah.
And then we had Reality Game Masters also. And then Big Brother started early. So we just ran out of time in the month or so between the end of Survivor 26 and the start of Big Brother. But here's what I will say, that we will not do it this off season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in June 2014, this after Survivor 28, we will reset the Survivor Top 20.
Okay?
So we last did it in the summer of, was it?
So it's not going to be ranked the winners. It's going to be
a new all-time top 20.
Okay.
I think we last did it in June 2011. So It'll be 3 years have gone by. 6 additional seasons has happened. Some things will change or that are more recent, less recent, whatever. So I promise, as I live in podcast, we will update the Survivor Top 20 ballot and do that podcast for you guys in June 2014. Also, let me just tease a little bit. Some changes coming to Miss Survivor this year. I don't know if they're going to be popular either.
Well, let's hear it.
Well,
Oh, you're not announcing it right now.
I'm not announcing it yet, but there could be something very, very different with Miss Survivor this year. And I'll be like Brandon. I'm not going to say it. But they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to say what it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't do that.
Sorry. You just got Brandon from Cleveland. Okay. All right. So let's get into some stuff from social media. A little bit of a quiet night. No big feuds or fights that we saw.
Everybody's getting along.
Everybody seems to be getting along.
No one was rustling any feathers.
Nobody rustled feathers on Twitter last night. Not too many, just a little bit. One minor thing. All right, so here's Rachel Folger, Mrs. Coconut Bandit. She tweeted last night, I have always known at Tyson Apostle loved me, but I didn't know how much until we played this crazy game of Survivor. Aww.
Oh, that's sweet. Aww. He was very sweet when he was talking about her.
Do you think that Rachel will come and visit Tyson next week for the family visit?
Is that next week?
Oh, I don't know if they're doing a family visit next week.
They've had family visits all season.
Yeah, they've had family visits all season. I think that next season what's going to happen is Dawn and her friend are going to come and visit everybody.
She's in Big Bread.
That she didn't get to visit everybody last season. So Dawn is going to come and have a family visit. Okay, so here's the little something last night. Okay. These two have been going at it all season long.
Who is it?
We know there's a long-standing feud between the Moretz and the Biskowski.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and this time it is at Vetus Yoga. He tweets, returning player Mojo versus new player Naivete. Sierra shares the clue with all, and Tyson doesn't tell a soul of his discovery. That's from Vetus. And then Sierra responds, would you rather me not share like John Cody? That worked out well for him. And if I found it, what? Would it buy me one more week? So a little more friction between Vetus and Sierra.
Not very zen-like, Vetus.
All season long, they're going back and forth. I didn't think there was anything inappropriate about what Vetus said. You know, he doesn't say, oh, stupid Sierra. Maybe other times, maybe that wasn't as zen. But I thought last night, I didn't think he said anything inappropriate. Colton Cumby tweets, I am the luckiest guy in the entire world. Nicole, did you know that Colton and Caleb had so much in common?
I had a feeling they had that much in common.
I laughed out loud at the fact that when Jeff said, so what is it? What do you guys have in common?
What can you possibly have in common?
Like, well, we're both guys. It's
like, that's true.
That is correct. That is absolutely 100% correct.
And even got a chuckle out of Probst.
Yeah. So that was good. Let's see. Russell Hants, not Russell Feathers. he tweeted, yes, it is a name because when Tyson stopped Tropic Council, he said, you just said Russell. Russell is a name, is a man's name. And then Russell said, and he says, again, my name, LMFAO, hashtag Russell.
Every season they talk about Russell.
Yes, he counts it. That counts as talking about Russell. Russell Hants also tweeted, I agree with your move at Sierra Easton. Hashtag balls.
Okay.
You like that?
Yeah.
That was good.
She's got balls.
She's got balls. Denise Stapley, she tweeted, she tweeted last night, I hate gambling, not willing to let my fate be chosen by a piece of stone, no rocks, hashtag survivor.
Okay, and she won.
Yes, but she, her and Tyson, it seems like they have been tweeting at each other, and it seems like there's some mutual respect there for Tyson.
Is there really?
I think that they like each other, and they've come a long way since the podcast that I did with Tyson a year ago, which was during Survivor Philippines, and Tyson only referred to Denise as the ripped old lady. So he has now come a long way. I believe he knows her name.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he called her the really jacked old lady.
Well, that's appropriate coming from Tyson.
Yes. Penner tweeted last night, hashtag Survivor Blood versus Water, Russell Feathers, Ruffle Hands.
He wasn't fighting with Rachel again, was he?
No, I think that's feud. I think that feud has ended since we had Penner on the podcast. I think we can take credit. We have mediated the peace talks between the Penners and the Apostles.
Well, that's good. That's good for Penner because Rachel was winning.
Yes. He didn't have to go on Twitter and say Tyson looks like a bag lady. That wasn't necessary.
That wasn't nice and that wasn't cool.
And he said that Tyson looks like his aunt from 1971. He didn't need to say it. But also Penner forgot to watch the show last week also. But Rachel tweeted that she was having Survivor Penner withdrawals last week. So quiet night for them. This is interesting, too. Jervis tweeted during the show. He was going back and forth with Mike Scoopin and a couple of fans on Twitter. And basically, somebody had asked him, Jesse Siegel, fly like a seagull, _, wants to know, you knew he had the idol, basically? And Jervis says, I knew he had both of them. So Jervis is saying that he knew the whole time Tyson had the hidden immunity idols.
He could tell the difference between the bulges.
He could tell the difference between the bulges,
That's
right.
what it was.
Right. Now, Jervis also claims, let me get your opinion on this. So do you remember in the first episode where Jervis couldn't swim?
Yes.
Jervis says he was faking that he couldn't swim.
Jervis is such a mastermind.
He's a master. Jervis is running this whole... appropriate that he's talking to Mike Scoopin on Twitter. the two masterminds that we didn't get to see what was really going on behind the scenes. Mm. Hopefully we can... It'll all be revealed to us. All right. So speaking of Jervis, this is good, Nicole. All right. The Rob Has a Podcast Fantasy Football League. Have I shown you this before? Where is it? Where is my... Oh, hold on. This is the... Have I shown you the championship belt for Rob Has a Fantasy Football League? Have I shown you this thing? This is the...
It is an actual wrestling belt.
Yes, it is like the... basically, the championship
Can
here...
I see this?
Yes, it's like the... It looks like the Intercontinental Championship belt.
It actually says Fantasy Football Champion. This thing is heavy.
It's heavy. So this is what's at stake here.
This is a real belt.
Yes, it is. For Rob Has a Fantasy Football League 3.
And there's a guy on it throwing the football.
Now, I paid for this to be made. This cost...
Is this gold-plated?
Yes, this cost $800.
Get the...
No. This was given to us, donated to Rob Has a Fantasy Football League by Evil Dick. So thank you. Thank you very much. Very, very generous.
Evil Dick?
He was...
this?
No, somebody gave it to him, and he doesn't play fantasy football, so he gave it to us, and this is our championship trophy. Okay? So it's down to 8 teams in Rob Has a Fantasy Football League 3. Okay? So here's... this is the first round of the playoffs this week. We have it's Lucas Hayes versus Alex Forstenhausler,
mm-hmm.
the creator of Reality Game Masters. Uh-huh. Then Keith Black is taking on former Tennessee Titans standout Kevin Dyson.
Wow.
Then, Marty Lublin, who's played with us for years on the Robinson Fantasy Football League, is taking on Jervis, who is the number 2 seed in the Rob Has a Fantasy Football League playoffs. He's playing for second place, Nicole. He's playing for the 2 seed.
Oh, no.
And then in the 4-5 game, Rob Cesternino, your very own host of Rob as a Podcast, why does it always have to be you, Rob Cesternino, is taking on the previously mentioned Johnny Fairplay.
Ooh, grudge match.
Yes, battle of the third place survivors. So we'll update you on what happens in the first round of the playoffs as we get down to it and see who's going to get this belt. You know who is the champion of Rob is a Fantasy Football League too, right?
Who?
Hayden Moss.
Oh, I did know that, yes.
Hayden Moss did not make the playoffs this year.
Well, I hope Jervis can prove to us that he can take number one.
It was a tough week for Hayden Moss, but Jervis is in the finals, and Hayden Moss is not of Rob is a Fantasy Football League in the playoffs. So some things don't change. Okay, so let's see. Anything else? Oh, we have the return of some Jeff Probst's inappropriate comments.
My favorite part.
Right. It's fitting that Nicole's back, because this has been a very down season for the Jeff Probst inappropriate comments. Okay. Oh, by the way, if you want to see the bracket for the Fantasy Football League, and I'm sure 99% of the people listening do not, but for the 1% that do, you can go to robiswebsite.com/fantasy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. So, Nicole, I've got the top three for the Jeff Probst inappropriate comments.
Okay, let's hear it. Okay? I'm excited for this.
Yes. This is going to be very good. Very good. Okay. And I just want to compliment Jason DeLima. Great job putting this together from the Rob is a Podcast staffers. Okay? So here we go. Number three. Okay? Jeff Probst said last night, being close is not being finished. Okay? There you go.
That's true.
Number three. You had a knowing laugh. Yeah. Number two. Oh, Katie just took it on the head. That's number two.
Isn't that inappropriate?
And number one, my favorite of the night, Jeff Probst said, first section is easy. It's just one bit of pole. There you go. So that's the return of the Jeff Probst inappropriate comments from last night. There you go. All right.
So glad it was back.
It was back. All right, Nicole. We have this is going to be such a jam-packed next couple of weeks here, because it's time to, you know, we're going to do our final lap here of Survivor 27 before we get to the Survivor offseason. Can you believe it?
I haven't said this in a long time, but I'm kind of sad that it's almost over.
Why? Because you've
I like this season.
You like this season so much.
Yes.
This has been a great season. Really, there's only been like one or two episodes that were kind of, a little bit boring. Like around the time when like they had the double episode where Vetus and Tina went home, like around there. That was the only time it's starting to get a little boring. So very, very good that they knew when to do a double episode when it was going to be a little boring. Okay, so here's what's coming up in the next week and a half or so here on Rob as a Podcast.
Give us the lineup.
Okay, let me give you the lineup. Sunday, you know, we do the recaps of the SNL. It's going to be a huge month for Saturday Night Live if you are a SNL fan. Paul Rudd hosts a new SNL this weekend.
I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, don't be surprised if Ron Burgundy shows up. God knows he's shown up everywhere else. So he is going to be on Saturday Night Live. So Rich Tackenberg and I will recap the Paul Rudd SNL this upcoming Sunday. Then Sunday night is the three-hour finale, two-hour finale, however long they do the finale of Amazing. I think it's a two-hour finale of The Amazing Race. So then Monday night, Jessica Lease and I will recap everything that happened. She's going to some Amazing Race viewing parties or whatever.
Oh, wowzer.
Rubbing elbows with the Amazing Racers themselves. So she's going to come back.
Wear protection.
Yeah. You don't know where they've been. Actually, we know everywhere they've been. So she's going to come back and tell her stories and give us her thoughts on the Amazing Race finale. And of course, look for her blog about the finale on Monday morning on robhasawebsite.com. Wednesday night will be the final Wednesday Survivor Know-It-Alls of the season on episode number 13. I'll be back with Steven. Kim Spradlin did not take over for Steven.
And we know I didn't either.
We know Nicole did not. Look, it's Steven's job until he quits, until he wants to. He no longer wants to be a know-it-all. It's Steven's job.
I just want to be a know-it-some.
Well. You know.
All right, be nice.
you know it's some, honey. Then on Thursday, okay, now this is a little tricky here. Thursday, we should have an exit interview. That being said, I don't know if there's going to be an exit interview this upcoming Thursday. Of course, I talked about it last night on Survivor Know-It-Alls. I haven't talked about it in this podcast, but there was the terrible news over that came, you know, that we heard about this week, that Tina's son and Katie's brother passed away. He was in a car accident, and it's just
it's really terrible, horrible
mm-hmm. story. So unless it's Lomo who gets eliminated, I'm not anticipating Tina or Katie doing an exit interview on Thursday. So we'll see. So you know, that's a exit interview with a big asterisk, mm-hmm. especially because on the, you know, will Tina step down to let Katie take her spot in the thing? Because Tina and Katie are both at Redemption Island now, so we'll see. Unless the two of them are going to knock out Laura Moret, mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold my breath for exit interview on Thursday. But then Thursday, we're going to close out the Survivor podcasting regular season with we got another good guest, Nicole.
Who do we have?
Today was the return of Boston Rob to the mm-hmm. podcast.
How are you topping that?
Well, I don't know if we can top that, but it's definitely going to be good.
Okay.
It's the return of Shane Powers to Rob as a podcast.
Wowzer.
Yes. Shane Powers.
Is he coming over again?
I'm going to go to his house. Or I'm going to go to wherever. He actually records a podcast. And I may go to where he records, or I may go to his house. But Shane Powers, this is the first Survivor season that he's been watching all the way through.
Wow.
And he wants to talk about it. So
we want
to
listen.
And when Shane Powers wants to talk, we want to listen. So Shane Powers next Thursday on Rob's podcast.
Wowzer.
And then it's time for the end of Survivor Blood versus Water. So Sunday night, I haven't talked to Steve. I have to check in with Stephen Fishbag and make sure he's available for this. But Sunday night live after the Survivor 27 finale, we will have a very special Survivor finale know-it-alls.
And that'll be in studio.
That'll be here in the studio, okay. Yeah. And then, I went there live to do it last December.
Right.
And they didn't ask me to come back for Survivor Caramoan. So it actually, I mean, there was really nothing to see
right.
there. Like, I was sort of like, it looks like I'm in like the back of like an airplane hangar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm not sure if that was before or after Spreecast deleted all their videos. So I don't even know if we can see it.
Wah, wah.
But it wasn't anything impressive visually. And I actually found, like, we talked to Malcolm and we talked to Lisa Welchel. And I actually then felt like it was very redundant when I did the exit interview the next day.
Right.
So I would rather have the 15 minutes with them than to talk to them on the red carpet.
Yeah.
But that being said, so look for a Survivor Know-It-Alls live after the finale on Sunday, December 15th. And then it's the biggest day of the Survivor podcasting year, the exit interviews with the finalists from Survivor Blood versus Water on Monday, December 16th. Boom. And that's the Survivor season.
That's it. Wow.
Yeah. The light is at the end of the tunnel, Nicole.
I can see it. I can see it from here.
Yeah. So we can see it. All right. So that's what's coming up. So and we'll see then if we have time to do anything else between the end of the Survivor season and the holidays.
I'm sure you'll figure something
out. I have a feeling that we will not go dark.
You can't seal those lips.
Until the New Year's. And then when we come back right after the New Year's, then it's podcast awards time. I'm going to go to Vegas in early January. And if you're going to be at New Media Expo, definitely give me a heads up. I'd love to say hi or grab a cup of coffee or something like that. If you're going to be in Vegas for the New Media Expo and podcast awards.
Oh, I'm bummed I can't go this year.
Well, shouldn't have had a baby. No. Sorry. It's that look.
That was rude.
I'm obviously joking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very busy year. And then we'll get into before we know it, it's going to be time to start previewing Survivor 28.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we will have our big competition to determine our champion of Survivor competition pageant. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that's going to end up being. So, Nicole, have you done any of your Christmas shopping yet?
I have done a little bit.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have done so much Christmas shopping.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I have. Because
Rob does it the week before.
No. Well, I do it, in full disclosure, I do it all online. So I can't do it.
Yeah, so
all.
Do I.
I can't do it all the week before because I don't want to pay for... all this rush shipping, but that was before I had Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you have Amazon Prime now.
But that being said, Amazon.com is the way to go for all of your holiday shopping. They've got all the Cyber Monday deals that I've been telling you about. They have a deal for one thing for an hour. They got a limited amount. You got to, you know, if you really play it right, you can really save a lot of money because they have certain things that go on sale for a short amount of time, a short window, and then you can really save some money on things. So go to robiswebsite.com/Amazon to go to the Amazon homepage, or for the Cyber Monday homepage, go to robiswebsite.com/Cyber Monday. Okay?
Yes. I'm having a hard time figuring out what to get you for Christmas.
Ooh.
So I'd love to hear what you guys have to say should get Rob.
If you have suggestions for what to get me for Christmas, mm-hmm. yes, let Nicole know. That would be fantastic. So, yes, well, that's actually good. So if I've maybe... you guys, many of you, have listened to, you know, hundreds of hours of this year of me talking about things, and Nicole has probably listened to very few of those. So maybe there's clues that I've given over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That I haven't heard. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And so we're going to start figuring everything else out. Okay. So I feel like I'm rambling. So, Nicole, do you have a hashtag you want to give people for the end of the show? What's something that we talked about?
Rob's gift.
Rob's gift? That's not a good hashtag. All right, Nicole, in honor of you.
Ooh, I like the sound of this.
All right. If you made it all the way to the end of this podcast, how about hashtag know it's some?
Know it's some.
Okay, so there you go. For Nicole.
Oh, thank you.
You even get a hashtag this week.
That still doesn't make up for it. you're still in the doghouse.
Yeah, also, if you are interested, I know we have a lot of people who are new listeners. If you're interested in hearing our first interview with Boston Rob, I also posted the link to that on the show page for this on robiswebsite.com. So you can go ahead and click that and listen to the first ever interview I did with Boston Rob on Rob as a Podcast, where we actually go really in depth into a lot more things from Boston Rob's past, where this episode was probably much more about the season that was happening, whereas the previous one, we didn't talk that much about Survivor Philippines. We talked more about Boston Rob's Survivor career.
Mm.
Okay. All right, everybody. So have a great weekend. We'll be back on Sunday talking SNL and then Amazing Race on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.